Welcome to the Empowered Spirit Show. This is your host, Terry Ann Hyman. I'll explore the connection to the human spirit in a way that helps to navigate your life, including crisis. I am passionate about helping you to open up to your intuition and the metaphysical world of spirit to find your confidence and your own inner guidance. Take a pause, be inspired, learn ways to show up focused, centered, and more dynamic in your everyday life. Welcome back to the Empowered Spirit Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me today. This episode is being brought to you by Forecast Salon, located in Homewood, Alabama. Forecast is a hair salon on a mission to shape a movement in the beauty industry, focusing on education, fashion, and creativity. Forecast strives to train stylists with the latest in education to provide their guests with the latest trends. Follow them on Instagram at Forecast Salon or find them online with their online store at ForecastSalon.com and check out their latest in stylist innovation at Club Forecast Salon on Instagram. As this podcast goes to air, we've just moved through the spring equinox, which means we are officially in the energy of spring. Spring is filled with so many beautiful colors emerging into the world. It's like all the colors of the rainbow were buried under the earth during winter, and now here they come, emerging from Mother Earth. Maybe you notice this with your energy as well, emerging out into the world. You know, your aura is filled with light and color. Color is not just a visual experience, but it's also a form of energy. It's a manifestation of your energy and what you're taking in and giving out. Your aura is consistently changing colors depending on you. Light is energy in motion. Happy, sad, stressed, loved, loneliness. You can learn to empower your energy to radiate your light and protect your light as well. The auric field contains information about your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. I believe that the colors and patterns in the auric field can provide insights into a person's state of being and can be used for healing and spiritual purposes. Your aura is a blueprint of your soul, and it is the first line of defense for your physical presence. I see this with my clients. I work with a lot of empaths who come in drained and tired. Their auras are diminished and they wonder what's wrong. In my recent masterclass, The Aura of an Empath, it was all about the way in which you can control your energy and the auric field that surrounds you. It does take slowing down, which is another thing I'm noticing. People are having a hard time slowing down and focusing. Also a result of what you're pulling into your aura. So the relationship between color and energy lies in the fact that color is a manifestation of energy, which we will talk about in our episode today. When light interacts with objects, it can be absorbed, transmitted, or reflected. Our aura also absorbs, transmits, and reflects. It is the blueprint of our soul, and like I said, it is your first line of defense. So, what are you absorbing in your aura? What are you reflecting out into the world? Color is not just a visual experience, but also a form of energy. Colors and patterns in the auric field can provide insights into a person's state of being and can be used for healing and spiritual purposes. Colors can evoke various emotions and moods, which is why I started learning about color. I was moody all the time and couldn't seem to control my energy. So I started studying light and color in conjunction with the Reiki I was learning as well. So I created a room, a color room, where I would sit in the room, run my energy, and have light projected all around me. Now, here's what I noticed. Too much blue made me blue and sad. Too much green. So even though green opens up the heart, too much of it can make you envious and jealous of other people. Too much red. Red, anger, and full of fire. And what I also notice is that I also seem to bring on speeding tickets. So all of this taught me to, well, slow down, to find balance in the color and energy I was taking in around me, sitting in a room or outside in my environment. Purple and orange fed my creativity and opened my crown to spiritual knowledge, a little more balance. Yellow was cleansing and awakening. Indigo blue at night was very calming. The colors around us feed our aura as well. The energy of light has a significant impact on our emotions and perceptions. Our aura holds this information, and we can learn to work with our aura to cleanse it, to strengthen it, to focus it, and protect us. So spring is here, and it is full of beautiful colors. Taking a moment when you step outside and just breathing it all in, notice. Notice how it makes you feel. This will fuel your energy for you. And you can learn to master your energy. In my Empowered Spirit private mentoring program, I help you to understand this, how to present your energy, how to notice what you're taking in, and how all of this relates to your energy and the way in which you show up. Do you feel lost in transition right now? Or maybe you've gone through a loss, a divorce, or a job change and feel a little unsure of yourself. Or maybe you're just ready to create a daily spiritual practice, but you don't know where to begin. In my private mentoring with you, I help you build the skills you need energetically, working on the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual layers. We create a new blueprint for your aura and your physical world to help you show up feeling empowered, radiant, and confident in your life. I have some new openings for the spring season. Schedule a spiritual makeover breakthrough call with me, and let's see what the number one thing is that you can do to empower your life in this new season. The link to schedule will be in the show notes. In today's episode, I bring this idea of color and light forward with my guest, Heather Eck. Heather is a synesthesia artist and color alchemist who brings extraordinary color insights, perspective, and wisdom to everyone around her. In this episode, we talk about art, the creative edge, art is spiritual work, color, therapeutic art, standing on the edge of creativity, and how art is a spiritual practice. Before we begin, let's take a moment to pause, breathe, and set an intention for this brand new season. So wherever you are, if you can, close your eyes. Taking a nice deep inhale, breathing up the body. And as you exhale, call all your energy into you, slowing down. Inhale, expanding the breath up the body. And exhale, breathing all that breath all the way down, deep into the earth, grounding. Call in your spirit. Feel the spiritual body aligning right on top of the physical, the emotional, the mental bodies, centering. Inhale, breathing up the body. And as you exhale, dropping right into your heart. Feel that connection of your spirit and the greater spirit. Know that you are loved, guided, protected as you open up to this new season. Taking another deep inhale and exhale. As we call in the masters, the teachers, the archangels, the crystal beings, calling in your higher self. Feel yourself standing in this new direction. As I teach, we find this new season of spring in the direction of the east, where the sun rises every day, bringing new inspiration into your life. We call in to the east, the south, the west, and the north, above us, below us, right into the very center of your heart, taking a moment, setting an intention. Now see it, hear it, feel it, know it. And allow the elevated emotions, how you want to feel, to radiate out all around you, setting that energy. Taking another deep inhale and exhale all the way down, grounding, centering. Open your heart, noticing the focus of the third eye, as you're ready. Blinking the eyes back open. Coming back. My guest today, Heather Eck, brings her unique approach to perceiving, creating, and healing through her artwork. Her background as an HR manager and certified authentic leadership coach, AAC, combined with her unique gifts of synesthesia, gives her a special skill to communicate in simple terms the hidden dynamics and solutions to everyday challenges through clairsentience, intuition, and color reading. As an expert on color, chakra, spirituality, and energy healings, you can gain tips and new tools to uplift and inspire your heart and mind. Heather is a renowned and award-winning artist, intuitive thought leader, spiritual intuitive healer, passionate coach, and facilitator. Her work has been exhibited in more than 25 shows, and she offers an inspiring perspective on connecting healing through color, symbolism, and form. Her Instagram channel has over 4,000 followers, and she mentors hundreds of color lovers and students worldwide in her private Facebook group, The Color Club. Her original art, spirit portraits, art, retreats, and courses are available on her website. So let us welcome Heather to the show. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk to you about your work and all that you're doing, your art, your color, your paint, all of that. And I think as I kind of shared at the opening before we even hit record, like I know I have a past life as a painter. So I'm always fascinated with paints and color and light and how to draw. And I don't really do it in this lifetime. So I'm so excited to have you to the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Have you always considered yourself to be an artist?
I think so. Yeah. Especially when I was a little kid, I was super into art. I was very creative. I was always drawing and sketching and doing things, you know, little creative things like making things. I've always been super happy to be able to work with my hands. And I minored in art in college. So it was always sort of like around me. But then I took a big, you know, step away from it for a while as I pursued corporate work and then came back to it probably about 2016, 2017.
Corporate work, a little different use of the brain, isn't it?
Just a little.
Yeah. So you talk about creative right in there. And I always find this fascinating. I love to ask artists, like, do you like to stand on the edge? Does it make you a little nervous?
Mm-hmm. I do. It does make me a little nervous. I think there are times when I feel like I'm getting inspiration about something. And it's almost as if I don't capture it right then in the moment, either by writing it down or acting in the act of making art right away, it goes away. So there is a little bit of, I wouldn't call it art anxiety, but I think sometimes when inspiration hits, you kind of have to move, you have to move into it immediately. And I'm always worried I'm going to miss those.
Yeah, I love that answer too. And I think sometimes too, when we are creative and we sit on that edge, sometimes we can be also a little fearful of it. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing? Is anybody going to like my work? But I think as artists, if we're not on that edge, it can affect our work, right?
Yeah, it's definitely like a tension between what do I feel called to create versus what do I want to create that I think people will like, and trying to find the balance between what you think will sell maybe versus what your spirit wants to create. And it's often for me like a push and pull of trying to do more of what the spirit wants and less of what I think a consumer would want.
Oh my gosh, I agree with that so much. Oh gosh, I'm a content creator. I can create courses all day, but it's at a question like, do people really want this? Or is this something I'm just making up out there, right?
Exactly.
So I definitely hear you on that. There definitely has to be a balance for sure. I remember my teacher, one of my teachers finally said, just admit you're an artist. You are an artist. Because I didn't for the longest time. And I'm more right now, I would say more in the healing arts, although I did jewelry for a long time. Mm-hmm. Jewelry is what led me into spiritual work, actually. Right. And so I did. I just kind of never wanted to admit that I was an artist, but I am. And now I talk about it like I'm an artist of the spirit. That creativity is right there for all of us.
I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can find creativity in so many ways. Yeah.
So true.
So what was it? I mean, beyond the idea of what we kind of have about corporate, but what was it that really guided you back into your art?
It was definitely that my spirit was tired. I had been, I think your gifts show up when you're little. I think your gifts are around you when you're a child. And for a long time, I sort of leaned into that and then I moved away from it. And then I got to this point in my corporate world. I was doing HR, worked for a great company. I'd gone and gotten my coaching certification. I was sort of moving down the path of growth there and then felt like, the kind of tired that no amount of sleep or vacation was going to fix. It was like driving into the office each day. I just felt depleted and not fulfilled. And so I was working with a spiritual teacher and we sort of started to uncover, okay, well, what is your gift and what are you here to do and to offer? And for me, it's about being of service too. So art came up and it was sort of like this light bulb went off and I went, oh. It was one of those, Homer Simpson dope moments because when I looked back, I kind of realized like, oh my gosh, it's always been there. Color's always been around me. Art has always been there. I used to listen to music and sketch and let my hand sort of just create whatever sound I was seeing. And I didn't really know what that was. And so I just kind of started to move back in the direction of art. And that's when I started to feel, that sort of happy energy in your belly where you're like, oh, I love this. This makes me feel so good. I like what I'm doing. And that's when I kind of said, I have to feel my way into what feels right for me. And if it feels too tight, I know it's not right for me. And if it feels open and free, then that feels good to me. So it was really like a balance of trying to find what I enjoy doing, but also what made me feel like my cup was getting filled back up again.
Well, yay for spiritual teachers. There you go. Yes.
They're the best.
I love that, how it brought you back to where you needed to
Yeah,
go, for sure.
for sure.
Yeah. And I talk about that too. Like, as kids, we have these gifts, but nobody helps us to train them.
No.
Right. And I still say, like, I had no idea I could have gone to college for jewelry. Like, wow, why didn't I know that? That was my passion. I was always beading. I was in fine arts and I did photography, which actually came forward for me in a full-time position, right? But that creative process, though, is so valuable, however you choose to express it, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I have an 11-year-old son, and I'm so cognizant of that with him, where I sort of look at him as a little me. And when I see him have these creative sparks, I'm like, yes, let's go do something with that. Let's help that flourish. Because I think for me, it was supported, but it was also sort of like, you're not going to make money as an artist doing that. You should do something else. And truly, that's how I ended up doing something altogether different. And then God was like, no, we got to bring you back. Let's bring you all the way back here. So I'm grateful for
Well,
that.
I think that's such a common thing for kids, for children, for even college kids to hear, you're never going to make money as an artist. And that's such BS because there's so many ways to apply it, whether or not it's directly as an artist, like we're going to talk to you about in a moment, or whether you're using your art or your creativity in the world that you do.
Right.
And I agree on feeding the kids. My kids had a little table right near me. I'm beading, making jewelry, and they're beading, making jewelry, or they're working with clay, or they were always doing something. My daughter loved to get her hands dirty. My son didn't really like to get his hands dirty. He didn't like the paper mache, but boy, could he play with that clay, right? And Legos. Oh my gosh. But all of that helps the creative
It
process.
does.
Anytime we're using our hands,
Exactly.
right? We're processing energy. Wouldn't you agree?
100%, 100%. And I just learned recently too that just even using your hands for like 15, 20 minutes lowers your cortisol levels. So, I mean, we're meant to create. It's healing for us to create. We're all creative, and I think we're all born artists, and it's just helping to cultivate whatever that is for you and whatever medium feels the best for you. It could be music, dance, art, clay, Lego, but we're all creative. And I love that.
Yeah, I so agree. I so agree. And I know for a while, like I had some coaches like, okay, you have to do one thing. You can't be doing your jewelry. You can't be doing this. And so I stopped and I was kind of lost. And it was a shaman that brought me back, said, no, you have to use your hands. You need to create. Whether or not you sell it is one thing, but you need to be creating. And that was like such a light bulb moment for me to recognize, yes, this is part of who I am and it helps in the process.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I love the idea of what you said about just putting music on and just drawing. Now, I've done this with writing, but I've never done this with drawing. Although this neurographics I was telling you about, I have been doing that. But tell us a little bit about that. Like, that's almost like channel drawing, right?
I think it's like a It's like a form of expression, sort of like free flow journaling, or I forget what that's
Yeah.
called, but just sort of like letting whatever comes through come through. And I would listen to, I remember specifically listen, there was a movie that came out back in the 90s called The Piano, and the soundtrack to that movie was just astounding to me. I just fell in love with it. And I would lay on the floor with this huge sketch pad, and I would just sort of draw what I saw in the music, and at the time didn't realize that that was a form of synesthesia that was sort of coming through for me. And it was always there, but it really wasn't until like the last year that I had a vocabulary word for it, where there are actual people, this is a thing. People have this. It's like 4% of the population have what I have. And that was sort of my gift showing up for me at a really young age that I now I'm sort of nurturing now in my 40s.
I love that. Let's explain that a little bit more because I use the same concept teaching intuitives how to develop all their senses. So tell us your definition of synesthesia.
It is actually like a neurological condition where your senses get crossed. So it shows up for people in different ways. I think there are over 80 different forms of it. For me, it comes through in whatever way I take in information, a smell, a scent, a sound, a touch. I will see in my mind's eye color and shape, and it'll take on different forms. And so if I meet somebody, I might, take in their energy as prickly, or take in somebody's energy as really soft. And then that also comes through for me as a color. If I taste something, I'll see it sort of. I'm sure that there are like more professional terms for this if you have like a sommelier or somebody who's drinking wine, but like I'll go, oh, that taste goes up and it curls, like it goes up and it swirls for me. Or so that's how I experience it. It's kind of fascinating.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. And I know for me, when I talk with intuitives and train them, like first we find out like the primary clair, and then we like open all the senses. And then we take just one idea, like a red rose. What do you smell? What do you feel? What do you sense from this rose? So it helps to open up all the senses. And for most empaths, we have this ability. We just have to train it. Yeah. So I love that you're bringing that idea forward in the art that you're doing and how much it helped you to recognize what you do. That's awesome.
It's awesome. And I love that you teach that. My strongest clair is clairsentience. And so that helps me connect a lot with people's emotions and to be able to bring that through in the artwork as well.
Yes, you're probably an empath as well, for sure. Yeah. And most empaths start there with that feeling. And then once they ideally understand, okay, these are feelings, then they can open up through this process the other clairs to really strengthen and know their intuition. Yeah. That's how I teach it too.
Very cool. I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your artwork.
My artwork is all about color, and it's all about spirituality. And so I create paintings that offer healing through the messages, the signs, and the symbols that come through in the work that I create. And so my favorite thing to do for people is something called a spirit portrait, which is where I sit with somebody, meditate on their energy, sort of see what I, see, feel, and know about them and what color comes through. And then I create a portrait for them that tells a story about where they sort of dwell in their mind, body, spirit, and then what color would be prescriptive to help them feel more uplifted, inspired, and supported. And so a lot of the work that I do is abstract, but it really kind of hones in on the intentional healing aspect of color and how color supports us in everything that we do.
And so you're basically reading their energy, reading their aura.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, I love that. That's so exciting. Yeah, because I think that's important for people to understand how the aura is and how their energy is and what we are reflecting. Right. And then we use that scale of consciousness, right? If we're reflecting that pain and that, lack energy, it's going to be a different color, different vibration
That's right.
versus opening the heart and opening our energy. It's going to be a different color as well. That's awesome.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Do the portraits look like people or do they look like color?
They look like color. Yeah, I was going to say they don't look like a representational portrait. I do those as well, but for the spirit portraits or just in general, the work that I create for collections or what have you, they are all very abstract. But they're sort of the piece that you need to spend some time with. You need to spend a little bit of time looking in and seeing it. And that for me, I find after I do a painting for somebody, I have to sit with it for a little while and say, okay, what is it telling me now? Because there are symbols in there, and there are messages that come through as I'm painting or as I'm looking at it, where I can add to the conversation with somebody. And we do that through a Zoom call too, where I'll say, okay, here's what I see, here's what came through for you. And it's a really intimate, lovely conversation about your color and your energy and what that all means for you.
Yeah, color is light. Light is energy. Most of us take color for granted, right? We don't recognize it's a vibration.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
true. And when we put it in our homes or our offices or on our bodies, it's offering us something. It's offering us the vibration of a higher or a lower vibration, and it offers us healing. And it also, I think, delivers these like little secret messages to us that when we tune into it, we can go, oh, I keep reaching for green today. Well, what does that mean? What's green telling me about myself? And that's a love color. That's a love message. So it's really cool to get to know how color communicates.
Yeah. And it used to be called like medicine of the future, but the future's here. It really is. I've studied the work. I've had Dr. Joe Lieberman on my show. I've studied so many different people, Dench's work. I started studying color in early 2000, and this was before the LED explosion. And part of that LED explosion came when the work of Dench was able to come back out into the world. I don't know how much you've studied in light therapy, but it helped me to really start to understand my emotions and really start to recognize, like I can, and I would do this with my kids. Like I would have this sculpture of light, and first thing in the morning, it's like yellow. Let's wake up. Let's clear the mind, right? And then coming in from school and work, turn it into blues and purples, right? So throughout my whole house, and that's how I really started understanding more and more about the vibration of color. And how color can help us. Yeah, very cool.
Oh gosh, I would love to dig into that with you. That sounds awesome.
It is fascinating. And now you'll see that explosion of color is everywhere,
Yeah.
everywhere. I mean, I don't know about your city, but our city downtown has this light bridge, and then now the fountains, and now the buildings. And I probably would say almost every city now is lit up in color, right? Yeah. And so we see it, but there's so much more to that meaning and that message that goes into color. And now the same thing is happening with sound. We're seeing
Yeah.
everybody with the sound bowls and the sound baths, and it's the same concept. Get out of the mind and start to experience what it helps you to feel and to understand,
Yeah.
right? And it is true. Sit in too much blue. I mean, I tried all the experiments on myself. Sit in too much blue and you're going to feel a little blue.
Yeah.
Right. And so we do have to find the balance of energy, lift it up, lower it down. And we can learn that through the idea of color, which is really kind of what your paintings are doing too, because you're reading that vibration and able to translate that into a color for people to see.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly what you say it better than I
Thank you. Thank you. I love color. And I remember when I first started, there was not a lot. And I remember the things that we came in contact with. I was hanging out with a guy up in Ithaca, New York. He lived off the grid. And so the way he powered his house was with these strings of light. And basically, they were brand new LED Christmas lights. Now you can find them everywhere. Now we had a hard time tracking them. We'd go to everywhere just to find a string of LED lights. And they weren't the electrical LED because they take up such little power, too. So he's feeding it off of a sun panel, feeding it into his house that lives off the grid. And this is how I started learning about color. And then I found a fabulous teacher. She's up in Canada, Julianne Bien. She was really getting into the nanometers of color, really breaking it down. So I studied with her for a long time, understanding color.
I love
Yeah.
that.
But it is fascinating. And for it to come forward in art, and I love the whole idea of spiritual art. I think we need it. I know it's helped me. Yeah. How do you see that as art relating to spirituality? I know what you're saying in terms of helping people read, but how do you see that as a spiritual process?
For me, especially, I see it as communion with God and or God or higher power, whatever people feel comfortable with saying. But for me, it's about my connection to God, because before I sit down to create, I meditate and I pray and I try to move myself into the highest vibration possible so that the work that I create comes through as clean and clear as possible. And then, a lot of the work that I create that is not specifically for a person, I kind of consider it like a commission for somebody I haven't met yet, is like closely aligned to spiritual themes. A lot of times about forgiveness, about connection to our own spirituality, about healing our bodies, about finding, just connection in general with ourselves or others through a heart-centered space. So, a lot of the work that I do, I hope comes through with the intention of helping people see that we are more than just a body, that there's so much more to our spirits, and that we're not just here to, make money and look good and to do all, but to find purpose and meaning and intention, especially when it comes to like helping pull people up, to reach our hands back and to pull people along and say, you're not alone, you're okay, you can get through this, we can all do tough things. And so I think all art is sort of spiritual in some way because you're creating it through your spirit. But I think mine specifically has like a higher purpose to bring people up and to help them move through this life more fully supported.
Yeah, and I love what you say to remind them that they're more than the body. Like that spiritual being is inside of them and bring that forward. Yeah, I think that's so important because I think we forget that. We run around our busy world and we forget really that soul. I mean, I know that's the work I teach, but I see it all the time. People are so busy. They can't slow down. They can't focus their mind. They forget like this part of us needs nurturing too.
Oh, yeah.
So it really sounds like you're really working at it through understanding that vibration of energy and then showing and expressing it to them back at them in color.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly right. That's exactly.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, maybe you can just elaborate a little bit more. Like, do you do other work? Do you do just like paintings for the wall, or is it mostly just reading people's spirit and color?
Yeah, I do both. I think what's interesting about the paintings for the wall is that I can't stop that. I can't stop that flow of energy from coming through. So a lot of times, if I have a big piece over here on the wall beside me, you could absolutely hang it above your couch. But it's one of those pieces that you would look at and you'd connect with it in some level and go, "There's something here for me. I don't quite know what it is, but I feel connected to it." And then if you were to sort of read through what I've written about it, you might go, "Oh, now I understand. This painting is telling me that I need to ascend spiritually, or that I want to feel more connected to, whatever that message is that comes through." And so I think there's always extra. There's always like icing on the cake of my paintings that gives you a little bit more than just the pretty picture.
I think all art has somewhat of that inherent, right? I mean, I
Yeah.
think we do. We all can get moved by it. Sometimes we don't, right?
Yep.
It's always the choice of the viewer. But I think having that extra layer of spirit in there is very inspiring in spirit, bringing that emotion forward. And I love that idea. It gives it a little more depth to what you're doing. Do you ever like bring in like paintings of angels or
Yes.
guides?
Yep. I've done those. I love to do that. And I really like to just be able to kind of tune into somebody's energy and say, like, ask, what is it that you want this person to know? And just let whatever comes through come through. But I do love painting angels, or and even have gone down the path of painting celebrities and seeing what comes through when I paint for them. And what happens when I get out of my own way and when I just let spirit lead that process.
Right. Obviously so. Yes. When spirit leads us, for
Yeah.
sure. I know. I mean, this goes back to someone I was talking about earlier, like that inherent energy in me of channeling and past life energy. I'm a natural beader. And I know that comes to another past life that I've always done it. And so whenever I sit down to bead, especially like these, I made like little bags and they went into Eileen Fisher stores when I first started beading. I don't know where I learned it. I just learned it. And I just did it. And I did this a couple of summers ago, and like another kind of stitching of earrings, like I just saw it and I had to do it. And it was just something inherent in that wisdom that comes forward. And so when we can go back to that and take a moment and feel that inside of us, we can really apply it to anything. Wisdom of anything that we
Yeah.
do, instead of feeling like we have to only be in this dimension and work in what we know in this dimension and our resume is only in this dimension. Like, no, let's bring all that wisdom forward. Yeah.
So true. Yes.
Yeah, so I know you've kind of said this, but who do you help? Like, is there a particular type of person that comes to you, somebody that's lost in life? Who do you help? Who do you work with?
Yeah, that's a great question. My clients have sort of run the gamut, right? Like I've worked with all different kinds of people along the way, but I think that the most common sort of thread that runs through all of them are people who are sort of on the brink of wanting to do something different with their lives, or they're sort of at that place where they say, something's got to change here. I don't know what it is, but I'm open to it. Where they're actually kind of at the point of deciding. Sort of like what happened to me when I was working in corporate, and I said, something's got to give here. I've got to do something different. I don't know if I'll survive this anymore, and that seems to be the people who are attracted to that sort of at the very beginning stages of wanting to develop more in their spirituality, and they see color as a really gentle way to kind of dive in and ask questions and get curious about it.
I love that. Women in transition, especially. Yeah, you know what? I've seen that in Reiki. I mean, I've had a couple people that were in a hard work, maybe even nurses, and they had this creative. I know one particular, like her work's amazing. She's like, done. I'm going to start painting again. And oh my gosh, she's just like opened up a whole nother world, kind of like what you're talking about. So I find that that inspiration from our spirit can help us to do that. And then to have someone interpret that on picture through color and then give that inspiration is very confirming for the soul.
It is confirming. I think that's the right word. And then I think they leave that conversation going, oh, I just feel seen and I feel cared for and I feel encouraged to keep going. That's so important, I think.
It is so important. And then to have that reminder all the time. Yeah, I think it's so important having that confirmation of who we are in spirit. And two, some of the work I do, like that past life, like I know I did this in a past life. So let's have the wisdom, right? I love that. And then we bring it forward. We don't want to bring the pain forward, right? So we like, okay, recognize that, but we want to bring the wisdom of what we've learned forward. And that can help us through color, through art, through light, through sound. All of that helps us to remember at such a different level. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All of that. I feel like we have
Very
infinite
inspiring.
access to all the things that we've learned in past lives if we just kind of sit and get quiet and go, okay, what's coming through for me? What's going to help me here? We have access to that. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. What's your favorite medium?
Definitely acrylics. I love to work in acrylic.
Acrylics.
But I do a lot of my spirit portraits in alcohol ink because the colors are so rich and vibrant. And when I'm working with those, I really have to get out of the way because they're going to do whatever they need to do without my intervention. And so that I think allows me to sort of go, okay, let's see what comes through. And then, you know, it's free. It's free and easy, and then I get the joy of sitting down to look at it and interpret it, and tell a story about it.
Do the alcohol inks are those ones that kind of like spread and open up?
Yeah,
Yeah, very cool.
it's beautiful to watch too.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I haven't quite gotten back into the paints. I mean, I paint rocks, which is a whole different technique, right? And some of that is with the acrylic paints. And then I've been using pencils lately. And even that, it's like, okay, how do you use a pencil? How do you blend it? How do you color it? There's still so much in that. It's just not a pencil, right? I mean, there's all different levels of that, right? And then some of those new like markers and stuff that then you can do some of the blending too. It's like there's so many ways to sit down and just allow that imagination to open up. We don't have to be so limited. Yeah.
Exactly. I've been playing with pastels lately too, and the soft pastels are like chalk, but they're so fun to use your fingers to blend, and your hands get all kind of colored, and it's just so pretty. And so I love the I'm a notoriously messy painter, but I love leaving the studio covered in paint, and I take that with me, and I'm like, oh, I got to create today. What a gift that is, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say those pastels can get really messy. They can get my daughter, she always like she would come with all of it all over. And I could get that way too. And recently I had a teacher too, and I noticed like, wow, he put like a little pad down, like he knew how to protect his hand from smearing the work. And I thought that's interesting. Yeah.
So
So
smart.
yeah, and there's so many ways. And I know for me recently too, it's like, you know what? I can use coins to trace and I can use guides to help me. I don't have to think like I got to be able to draw that perfect circle or anything like that. It's just so much more freeing and open. And then you do have that satisfaction coming back. Yeah, definitely. And I think too, one of the things I've been learning from this neurographics, it's not necessarily now you might, because you're working with somebody and you're more of the artist type, but like sometimes it's not even the final result. And maybe some of your channel sketches can be that way. It's not even the final result for me right now. Like, it's nothing I'm going to go show or frame or sell. It's like, what is that process? And to me, that's been so helpful to teach me patience, slow down, don't be lazy. I can't tell you because I've gotten to the end and just wanted to finish. And then I like feel like, God, why did I hurry? Which is a good lesson for, I think, me and all of us right now, but slow down, how important that is, how valuable that is.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. I've been getting that same sort of message too. Slow down, just take your time because I think a lot of the work, especially, you know, as a content creator, you have to put your stuff out into the world. And as artists, I think we're sort of fighting against this algorithm that wants us to create more and more and more. And I think art sometimes needs to be made without being shared. And I think that art needs time. And so, what I'm trying to practice more with my spirit portraits and with just the work that I'm creating in the studio is to just slow it down, let it breathe, and give it space to tell me, like give it space for it to share with me what it wants to be and what it wants to say. And that's such a good reminder in the studio, but also outside, where the minute I wake up, the minute we all wake up, we're getting information shot at us from all different directions. And if we don't take the time to slow down and sort of go, okay, what's for me, what's not, it's hard to recover from that, even in just the day to day.
Oh, I so agree. I so agree. And I see this more and more with clients coming in, and it's like they can't focus, like for even just 20 seconds, right? Even to sometimes receive a Reiki session where Reiki will just like help you release, like their just mind is so busy and it becomes uncomfortable. But yet it's something we all need to learn to do right now. We have all this 5G and we're moving fast. So we have to counter that. We can't just keep going, going, going. And so, yeah, I see it. I see it. And so, what a great lesson for me. So, again, it's not like so much I'm doing it for the outcome, although I've been doing these neurographic trees that are just beautiful. But again, it's not the end process. But like the next one is like, okay, last time you were hurried at this stage, let's see where we can just like slow down, right? And I think it's such a valuable way. And it really does open up more creativity, not less. And for me, not to hurry, that's really important. And then you ask the question, where else in my life? Where else in my life are selling myself short because I'm in a hurry? So it does carry through.
It absolutely does, for sure.
Now, do you teach your work?
I teach some therapeutic art around color, mostly around like the art of letting go or the art of manifestation, where I sort of help people connect to what is it that you want to let go of? What's the color associated with that? Or what is the symbol that you sort of see with it? And creating a painting around that, and then doing the same for what do you want to create? What do you want to create more of? And then helping them connect a color or a shape or a symbol to that, so they can sort of start to make their own little dictionary, if you will, of colors and shapes and terms that they can then use in their work. But I do like to work with people to teach them how to use art for just slowing down, for calming the spirit, for and for healing.
I love it. Yeah, definitely. And it just really helps in so many layers. And again, it's not the end process. And I think sometimes that's where people get really psyched out about, oh, I'm not creative, or oh, I can't paint. Like I've heard myself say that too. But yet I know something inside of me can, right? But if I don't slow down long enough, I'm going to want to get to the final product that I hadn't even started on how to hold the paint, how to hold the brush, how to get the paint out of the tube, right? Or how to even mix the colors. And that happens more often than not. I know I'm not the only one that goes through that process. Hurry up, let's just get to the end, right? Even painting rocks, everybody thinks, oh, it's so easy, it's no big deal. But actually, there's a little craft involved in that too. And a lot of it is slowing down. You got to let some of it dry before you can add the touches, right? And we can't hurry it along, right? I had a teacher, one of my first teachers, Catherine, she painted rocks. And every time we go out to her, she had a house out on Fire Island in New York. I lived in New York for many years, and we would just like all sit there, and that would be part of our opening of our retreat, would be just to be quiet and paint rocks, right? And she always had crafts, and I think that's where I carry it from too. Like we'd make these little healing bags and do, and it is part of the process, and I love it. I love it to
I
this
love
day.
that. Yeah, there's so much. I think art is filled with lessons for us, like letting the paint dry a little bit so you don't make mud, right? I think we can apply that analogy to our own lives. You have to let the paint dry
So
a
we
little
don't
bit.
make mud. I
Don't
love
make
that.
mud.
Yeah, like too many colors at once because you're too fast and hurried, and all of a sudden you got mud. I hear you. Oh my God, I love that analogy. That was great. Yeah, for sure. So you've won awards, you've been in juried shows. What's your most favorite, passionate thing about all of this?
I honestly think that I have a lot of, I don't want to use the word pride, but I think I feel proud of myself for listening to my spirit, for actually paying attention to what was calling to me, and to have taken such a big leap of faith to leave corporate and to try and pursue this full time to earn a living, but also to fulfill my purpose. I feel very grateful that I get to do that, but I think about what would happen if I didn't, and I just feel so excited about the prospect of what's to come because I'm learning how to listen to my intuition more, and I'm trying to stay on the path and not get distracted by what's happening around me. I feel very excited about the ability to share my work and to care for people through my work. And that's especially important for me.
I agree with that. I love that because it really honors that process you went through to have some faith in what you're doing. And when it comes from inside of us, you can inspire so many other people. You know what it feels like to be in that other place,
Yes.
right? And you know what that is for you. And then it allows you then to help and inspire and choose that part of you, which is a great reflection. You know, it's kind of like Marianne Williamson says, like, who are you not to shine your light? And as
Right.
you're shining your light and helping people find their purpose and do their work, it's such a beautiful way to spread this energy for sure. And we need more artists. We need more original thinking. We need more creatives in the world. We really do. That's what's going to change.
Yeah. I agree. We need beauty. We need music. We need art. That's part of our of who we are as people and as spirits. And I think that's how we let our light shine by sharing those things with each other. And we need more of that. I agree.
Yeah, I so agree as well. Yeah. Well, where can people find you? Where would you like me to direct our listeners?
I love connecting with people on Instagram. I'm at Heatherek
Okay.
Artist there. And then on my website at heatherek.com/thank you, I have a couple of freebies there for folks. And one of them is the ability to schedule a free 15-minute color discovery session with me, where we'll sit down and I'll kind of share a color that I see for you and talk a little bit about how that color might be helpful for you.
What color do you see on me?
You know, earlier in the call, I saw like a purple pink around your head, which is so beautiful. And to me, I think that means you're really connected to the divine, but you also share a lot of love with us through a higher love, that there's this kind of bubble of loving connection around you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I will put all the links in there. And what a great gift to have that opportunity to connect with you in that way. So that is just really awesome. So as we go to close, I know, Heather, we've kind of said this, but I like to leave the listeners with an uplifting thought. How would you say that the work that you're doing through color, through these paintings, can help to empower the spirit right now, especially as we open up to the spring?
I think that the colors that you see around you are offering you messages. And so if you pay attention to what color you see, you put on, you wear, or you just kind of, you know, see when you close your eyes, there's messages of love and support in there. So if you are reaching for that pink shirt this spring, look up what pink means and see how it's communicating, you know, its loving message to you in some way. I think there's a lot of inspiration and empowerment that comes through when you are educating yourself about what the universe is offering you through signs and symbols and color.
Through signs, symbols, and color, be inspired, allow those messages to come through, and notice. Notice what it does mean for you right now. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your information and your beautiful ideas of color and how to bring it forward into the world. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, to your spirit. Namaste. Yes, art is a spiritual process. We need beauty, art, and music to surround us all the time. Let your light shine by sharing your creativity. The colors that you see around you are offering you messages, loving messages. Inspiration and empowerment comes through signs, symbols, and color. Notice what you notice, as I always say, and notice what it means for you as you stand in the beautiful spring energy coming forward. Be sure to check out Heather's work. And if you're ready to learn more about how you can strengthen your aura and master your energy, schedule a spiritual makeover breakthrough call now. Thanks again for listening. This is your host, Tarianne Hyman, to your spirit. Namaste.